Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today's Tuesday, April 7th, 2015, at 6:30 p.m. We're at the Palm Coast Community Center for the regularly scheduled meeting of the Palm Coast City Council. For those that are able, would you please rise and join me in a Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Roll call, please. Here.
Councilmember
Dwyer. Here.
Councilmember
DiLorenzo. Here.
Councilmember Nobile.
Here.
Councilmember
Shipley. Here.
Thank you very much. First item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the March 17th council meeting and the March 31st council workshop. Are there any additions, corrections, or is there a motion for approval?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries that objection. Agenda item number two, proclamation recognizing April 12, 2015 through April 18, 2015 as National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. Mr. Landon, do you want to introduce someone on this one?
I'm not prepared. I was told that it was taken care of. Mark?
I will take care of it, but my screen just turned blue and it got me in the stairs.
A likely story.
Are you accepting a proclamation?
Yep, 1 second. Come in. Let me go through the application.
We obviously don't rehearse these.
Okay, and this is for National Public Safety Telecommunications Week. Whereas emergencies can occur at any time, disasters that require law enforcement, fire, or emergency medical services, and whereas when an emergency transpires, the prompt response of law enforcement officers, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel is critical to the protection of life and preservation of the property. Whereas the safety of our emergency responders is dependent upon the quality and accuracy of information obtained by public safety telecommunications from citizens who telephone the Flagler County Communications Center. And whereas public safety telecommunications are the first and most critical contact our citizens have with the emergency services, serving as a single vital link between the public and law enforcement officers, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel by monitoring activities via radio and providing information that ensures safety for everyone. And whereas public safety telecommunications of the Flagler County Communications Center, that's a hard one to say just so you know, have contributed substantially to the apprehension of criminals, suppression of fires, and treatment of patients. And whereas each communications employee has exhibited compassion, understanding, and professionalism as they performed their job in the past year, now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, and that the week of April 12th through the 18th, 2015, be designated as National Public Safety Telecommunications Week.
Thank you.
That is
much.
From you.
Thank
you.
Mark.
Okay. There's a telecommunicator.
I'm sorry, I'm late. Better late than never, right?
We thought you were
on behalf of Sheriff Manfrey and communication specialists all over the world in Flagler County, we want to thank the mayor and city manager and council. You want to say a couple words?
Well,
no.
I can try. Thank you very much for this. We appreciate it. We know that you know how hard that we work for the community. And we put forth our best effort, and we appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you. Okay.
Agenda item number three, proclamation recognizing April as Fair Housing Month. Mr. DiLorenzo, I believe you're up.
Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Jason.
Whereas April 11, 2015 marks the 47th anniversary of the passage of the Fair Housing Act, Title 8 of the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which enunciates a national policy of fair housing regardless of race, color, religion, sex, familial status, handicap, and national origin, and encourages fair housing opportunities for all. And whereas the Flagler County Association of Realtors is committed to highlighting the Fair Housing Act by continuing to address discrimination in our community by supporting programs that will educate the public about the right to equal housing opportunities, and by planned partnership efforts with other organizations to assure each and every one to the right to fair housing. And whereas the National Association of Realtors Code of Ethics commits all realtors to providing equal professional services without discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, familial status, handicap, sexual orientation, gender identity, and national origin. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Palm Coast Mayor and the City Council do hereby designate April 2015 as Fair Housing Month to begin a year-long commemoration of the Fair Housing Act in the City of Palm Coast, and to urge all citizens to wholeheartedly recognize this celebration throughout the year. Signed this 7th day of April 2015, City of Palm Coast, John Netz, Mayor. Some words?
Just a few. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, as well as the councilman, for this time and effort to go into this, but not just the proclamation, but the fact that how fair housing helps to strengthen our communities. And without your assistance, this is about the fourth or fifth year that the city has partnered with us for a fair housing event that will be this Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Realtor Association. And we thank you for allowing us to partner in this and be able to get this information out to our residents. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Of course.
Agenda item number four, proclamation recognizing May as Motorcycle Awareness Month.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, whereas motorcycle riding is a popular form of efficient transportation and recreation for more than 900,000 people in Florida, and whereas it is important that the drivers of all vehicles be aware of one another and learn to share the road and practice courtesy, and whereas motorcycles provide a means of transportation that uses fewer resources, causes less wear and tear on public roadways, and increases available parking areas, and whereas it is especially important that the citizens of Florida be aware of motorcycles on the streets and highways and recognize the importance of motorcycle safety, and whereas the American Bikers Aim Toward Education, ABATE, of Florida, Vintage Chapter, representing the cities of Palm Coast, Bonnell, Flagler Beach, St. Augustine, and St. Augustine Beach, as well as unincorporated areas within the counties of Flagler and St. John's, is actively promoting the safe operation, increased rider training, and increased motorist awareness of motorcycles, and whereas it is important to recognize the need for awareness on the part of all drivers, especially with regard to sharing the road with motorcycles, and to honor motorcyclists' many contributions to the communities in which they live and ride. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, that the month of May 2015 be officially designated as Motorcycle Awareness Month in the City of Palm Coast. Signed the 7th day of April 2015, City of Palm Coast, Mayor Netz.
Somebody want to say something? Come and say something for us.
I'm Marcus Hotelling. I am the ABATE Vintage Chapter President, and we take great honor of you guys providing us with this the whole month. Every day we lose somebody, somebody goes down, somebody gets hurt, and we want everybody to be aware of us, and we greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 5, an ordinance amending section 7.1 of the Code of Ordinances relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Council. This is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, relating to alcoholic beverages, amending section 7.1 Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast. This provides for severability, codification, conflicts, and provides for an effective date.
Thank you. Mr. Landon.
Mayor, City Council, this is truly just a housekeeping item. City Council asked us a while back to take a look at our land use code as it pertains to where bars in particular that don't aren't a part of a restaurant could be located. It came about because of questions we received when you have a neighborhood retail, do we allow bars? And so when we were looking at that, we also looked at our alcoholic beverage code, which is not part of the land use. And although we aren't proposing anything major, we are asking that you actually clean up one little glitch in our alcoholic code as we move forward with the land use issue in the future. And that is, our code currently restricts the sale of alcohol from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. on weekdays, and says you cannot sell basically at night. And then on Sundays, from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., in other words, you can't open the bar until 10 a.m. It doesn't say anything about Saturday. So all we're doing is adding the word Saturday, so there's no problem with interpretation that Saturday is not free-for-all and that we're basically having the same hours on Saturdays as weekdays. It's just, right now we're interpreting it meaning everything but Sunday, but this is just cleanup. That's all it is.
Thank you. Council questions?
This isn't an issue anywhere, right? I mean, we're not as we know of right now.
Never been approached, never, okay. This is just...
This just popped out.
This is staff reviewing and saying, hey, if we're going to look at this, let's clean it up and make it right.
Any other questions? Open a meeting to the public. And from the public, wish to be heard on agenda item number 5. Go up to the podium, give us your name, limit your contribution
Jack
to 3 minutes.
Palm Coast. I was under the impression, or maybe I'm wrong, that the state sets the time and dates for the bars and any liquor selling outfit. Am I wrong, or don't you have to get a state license to sell liquor?
We'll get an answer to your question. It's an interesting answer to that question, by the way. Next speaker.
John Erpelding, our section. I just want to add what, or maybe answer what Jack was just talking about. State law does say that it prohibits the sale of alcohol from 3 a.m. till 10 or whatever that is in the morning. There are many bars, and I'm not a drinker myself much, but there are many bars in that are staying open till 3 a.m. Last call is 2:30. The only thing I would, in reading your agenda, to make it a violation to sell a drink after 2 a.m., I would think you're putting any bar or anybody you selling it in jeopardy. I think it's a good law, but I think it ought to be 3 a.m. to coincide with state law. Thanks.
Okay. Next speaker. So you don't approach the podium. We'll close the public portion meeting. Go back to council. Mr. Reichman, any insights?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Council, and to those that spoke in the audience. There's a reference in the first paragraph of your ordinance, in the first whereas, and it does reference section 562.14 of the Florida statutes, which does provide that under state law you can't sell or consume alcohol on any day between the hours of midnight and 7 a.m. But that is in the absence of any local regulation, because this statute specifically provides as, quote, except as otherwise provided by county or municipal ordinance. So this is kind of the opposite of preemption. They're saying in the absence of a local regulation, this will apply. But because the city of Palm Coast does have a local regulation, then that's going to apply. There won't be a conflict.
Okay. As I said, there was an interesting discussion on this. It's a shame Mayor Canfield isn't here to relate the story, but as you recall, we became a city December 31st, 1999. And at that moment, the sheriff's department came to their mayor and council and said, you've got a problem. Tradition has it throughout Flagler County, Florida, that bars close at 2 a.m. But since you are now an incorporated city and you don't have any ordinance, it reverts back to the state closure. So the very first ordinance that the city of Palm Coast enacted was to put the 2 a.m. in as the closing time for bars. And if you think about December 31st, that's particularly significant because that's New Year's Eve. That was the first action we took as a city. Okay, back to council. Any additional questions, comments, or a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor McGuire?
Yes.
Council Member
DiLorenzo?
Yes.
Council Member Nobile?
Yes.
Council Member Shipley?
Yes.
Mayor Nix?
Yes.
Mayor's motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 6, a resolution approving final plat Grand Landings Phase 1, lots 8 through 10, replat. Mr. Landon.
Mayor, City Council, this is a very simple replat. It's taking three lots that currently are in Grand Landings, and I'm stalling, so we can show a picture.
Well, I can help. This is quasi-judicial, so if there's been any ex parte communications, those should be disclosed at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any ex parte communications?
No, sir.
No.
None?
And Constance has a short presentation highlighting what is happening in this case. So, Constance, if you'll take it from there.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. For the record, I'm Constance Bentley, a planner with the City of Palm Coast, and I am presenting the final plat, Grand Landings Phase 1, a replat of lots 8 through 10. It is located on Fierro Drive off of Grand Landing Parkway, west of Seminole Woods Parkway, and north of Citation Parkway. The future land use is residential. The zoning's master plan development with a single-family residential use in this location. And we're replatting three single-family lots that are over a half acre each into five single-family lots that will be greater than a quarter of an acre, which far exceeds the minimum requirements of the master plan development. This is the original plat, and those are the three lots that we are replatting. The plat itself has 89 lots. This is the replat of that section of lots 8 through 10, and it's a replat from lots 1 through 5. We also received and approved the performance surety for the utility infrastructure, and staff is recommending City Council to adopt the resolution approving final plat for Grand Landings Phase 1, lots 8 through 10 replat, authorizing mayor to execute the plat, and staff to issue a final plat development order for application number 2844.
Constance, is this being generated by the developer? The developer wants to replat this?
Yes, the property owner.
Okay.
Yes. And by the way, the applicant is here, Jerry Finley, who is representing the property owner, if you have any questions.
Council questions. Mr. DiLorenzo.
Constance. Good evening.
Good evening.
The new minimum lot widths that are going to be established with this are within the range required by the MPD?
They're greater. The minimum's 50 feet, and these are 60 and greater.
Okay. Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, let's open the meeting to the public. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on agenda item number 6? Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion meeting. Go back to council. Additional questions, comments, or motion? I have one question. Does this in any way affect the total number of dwelling units that are permitted for this property?
The master plan development allows for 749 residential units in total, and this, after the replat, would come to 91 units out of the 749. So it does not exceed it.
Seems like a safe margin of error there.
Well, they still have quite a few additional areas.
Yeah. Yep. Any other council questions? Otherwise, is there a motion on agenda item number 6?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number 7, a resolution approving a contract with TB Landmark Construction for the construction of the South Old Kings Road Force Main Improvements and Water Pump Station, Master Pump Station Project. Mr. Landon.
This is one of our wastewater capital improvement projects. You heard this at your workshop. I think it's always good to let the public know about work going on out there. And so Steve will give a short presentation to highlight what this utility improvement project is all about.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Let me see here if I can open this to full screen. Better. Okay. This is a project been a long time in the making for the utility. It's been high on our priority list. Unfortunately, we didn't build it quite as soon as we would have liked to because we had it planned along with the four-lane construction project for phase two of Old Kings Road. But based on the delay of that, we had to move forward with this wastewater expansion. It was extremely important to our operational pumping and collection system. The project's located, if you're familiar with the Hidden Lakes subdivision, basically out front of the Hidden Lakes subdivision. We will be building a new triplex pump station approximately 1,000 feet north of the Hidden Lakes subdivision on property that was acquired from the developer. We will be abandoning the existing station shown on your map here. And we will also be constructing a new 16-inch force main from basically the intersection of Town Center Road and Old Kings Road, 13,000 feet to the north. With both of those major improvements, it will increase our capacity of this station's ability to pump from roughly 500 gallons a minute to 1,250 gallons a minute, to give you an idea on the margin of the increase in the capacity or the ability of the pump station to produce flow to the plant. The project's construction timeline is approximately 8 months plus 30 days to finalize the paperwork and the punch list items. We've worked with this contractor on a couple of projects before, and they've had a very good reputation with us. Been a very active participant when we've built jobs with them or worked on development projects with them. So I see no issues with the contractor, and I would recommend to council with confidence that this project would be a successful construction project. I'd love to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Council questions.
As it's near Town Center in a busy area there, is it going to affect anything on the road as far as closings of the road or anything?
Don't expect any real major closings of the road. We will be close to the edge of the road, I'm sure, with our signage and such. One thing that I did not add into the discussion is we will also be building a sidewalk in this project between the linear path and the Hidden Lakes entrance to help with, if you will, protection and safety of the public. That's just something we added into the project that seems sensible.
But no, we do not expect any major type of road closures at all.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. DiLorenzo.
The planned sidewalk will terminate at Hidden Lakes?
Yes,
it'll run from
terminate at the Hidden Lakes entrance road
from the bike path
and
multi-use
go down
path
to the multi-user or Lehigh Trail.
Right,
I think is probably proper terminology.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, and is that sidewalk part of the four-lane plan? Future four-laning plan?
No, I do not believe it is. It's kind of a patchwork to try and protect the public prior to the four-laning, I believe is probably a more accurate description.
I asked Steve to include this because this is a request we're getting as we get more and more people living there in Hidden Lakes. They've got a short strip, but that's a very, very narrow area. And so instead of putting down sod, we're going to lay down some asphalt. But it's strictly intended to be temporary, and then when the four-laning occurs, it will look more very similar to what you have on the south side, not all the way up to Palm Coast Parkway, because there'll be a point where it'll only be on one side when you get through that area that there's not much activity. But from Hidden Lakes Drive to Town Center Boulevard or to the trail, you'll have sidewalks on both sides.
Okay.
This is strictly a temporary. I like to say instead of laying sod, we're going to lay a little bit of asphalt so you give people a safer place to walk and ride their bicycle from that residential area to a very popular trail. That's all.
Okay.
You say you're going to abandon the old pump station. That has almost a negative connotation. What happens to the existing pump station? Do you dismantle it, take it away, smooth it out?
We'll once we're done, you won't see any above ground appurtenances, if you will. So I view it as the abandonment being a very positive thing. I'm sure the Hidden Lakes community would be very happy that we won't have a pump station at their front door, if you will, with the fence. So I believe that's one of the big advantages to this project is we'll move it down the road and it'll be kind of between the Hidden Lakes entrance and the Tuscana entrance, I believe it is. And it'll be an upgraded station because we'll have more property there, Mr. Mayor, for this pump station. And it will have a landscaped package to where it'll be an upgraded look as well.
Over the years, we've been upgrading pump stations with odor control. I assume a new station going in will be equipped with that.
This station will have a generator from the beginning. It will be set up, I believe it is, for odor control, but the odor control will not be installed in the first phase in this construction project. But it will be set and ready for an odor control to be installed.
Okay.
Steve, I didn't hear an answer to the mayor's question. What are you going to do with the existing pump station?
I'm sorry. We are going to basically tear it apart down to ground level and below and remove anything that we can utilize in our operations. So the pumps are still valuable. The pumps will come out, they'll be used, they'll be put in storage or put into a new pump station, pump station. Some of the controls, the control panel, the pieces and parts of the control panel can be utilized. So we have a list of the items that the contractor has to furnish back to us. And then some of the other things like the fence is not of shape that we would reuse it. Some of those other pieces and parts, they're just responsible to...
Is Landmark going to do that?
Yes. That okay. is in this contract, and they will do that.
What about putting down the walkway? Who's going to do that?
Landmark will do that as well,
okay.
Or their subs.
Question in regards to the walk. Is there a way from Tuscany to Hidden Lakes...
Yes, off? Internally.
Okay, so
internally you can get
down
from Tuscana... Okay. To the path as well.
So if you're in Tuscany, you can get to that new path.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Without coming out on the old
Kings
Road.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Other council questions? Open the meeting to the public. Anyone from the public wish to be heard on this agenda item?
Just one question, Jack Carroll. What's it going to cost us?
Who's got the number handy?
I think I have it. With the bid price is $2.835 million, and with the contingency, we're requested contingency, the value is $3.118 million,
which is budgeted.
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? If not, is there a motion on agenda item number 7?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries that objection. This brings us to the consent agenda items 8 through 15. I'd like to offer the public an opportunity to speak on any of those items before the council acts on them as a package. Any public comment on agenda items 8 through 15? Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion of the meeting. Council, is there a motion on consent agenda items 8 through 15? Does council wish to remove anything from the consent agenda?
No, thank you.
Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as submitted?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries without objection. This brings us to the public participation portion of the meeting. This is the opportunity for the public to speak on any matter that was not on today's agenda. Please come up to the podium, give us your name, and limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Jack Allen, Palm Coast. I asked the county last night, now that we're at the 100,000 mark with people, maybe dogs and cats, so I don't know, but now, I hear from them that because we hit the 100,000 mark, we lose a lot of benefits that we used to get when we were under 100,000. So now you tell me, besides industry might come in, what getting over 100,000, what is that really going to benefit us with?
Get an answer. Try to get an answer to that question. Next speaker.
Good evening, George Mayo, Palm Coast. Seeing proclamation number 4 on tonight's agenda as Motorcycle Awareness Month, I'm wondering, since I know that Palm Coast makes our own street signs, if we could get some signs made up, whatever the phrase you want to be aware of motorcycles, share the road with motorcycles, excuse me, and possibly attach them to speed limit signs or existing signs already, at least on Belterre, which is a widely traveled road, just to make the public and anybody coming and going through that being the widely used road and or other roads that the city may see fit, just attach them so you don't have to put out new anchors or anything, just attach them to a speed limit sign or anything else that you might have, a U-turn sign. Somewhere, however you want to space them, I think that might be a good idea just for awareness. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
John Erpelding, our section. As far as on our roads, I'd like to ask a question about over at the, if you're leaving, and I don't even know what the name of it is, if you're leaving Walmart, you make a right turn by the Steak and Shake there, and you're going to Palm Harbor to turn right. You go from one lane to two right turn lanes. But people don't stay to the right. People go from the right turn lane, and they just drive into the second one. Well, if you're trying to work over there, which I was trying to do today, earlier today, and some woman just come right along there and fires across, and boy, she's hollering and screaming and damn near hit me, you know. Can we mark that street someplace to tell people that, you know, when it goes to two lanes, the right, if you're staying to the right, you should merge to the right so that the other people can go in the other lane? That should be some way it should be marked.
I'm sorry. If you're coming out of Steak and Shake and you take a right on Steak and Shake onto Palm Coast Parkway?
No, take a right onto Cypress Point.
Right onto Cypress Point, right before you, when you're turning onto Palm Coast Parkway, before Palm Coast Parkway.
There are two right turn lanes on the Palm Coast Parkway. The problem is somebody's in the rightmost lane and they decide to go into the left lane on Palm Coast Parkway.
Right. After the turn.
No, during the turn. Before the turn.
So they're turning and they just keep going out.
No.
No.
As they're approaching Palm Coast Parkway,
yeah,
there are two right-hand turn lanes.
Right.
100 yards behind them before they get there, it's only one lane. It goes to two lanes, but those people gravitate towards the left side, whereas they should all stay to the right.
Oh, I see that we have a right.
I don't know if I'm not.
Well, yeah,
not saying
yeah,
it right.
I understand what you're saying.
It should just be. It should be marked or a signage to say that's the way the road goes. That's the way traffic should go. You know, just because you're in the one lane, don't hit somebody because they're also trying to make a right turn. There are two lanes to turn right.
Right.
And why not use the two lanes to turn right? I can't imagine why we don't have a lot of accidents right there because, boy, you just see them crisscrossing each other and hollering at each other and blowing horns and stuff, you know, flipping off, you know. And I'm one of them, you know. Thanks.
Thanks.
Maybe we could, if we could mark that somehow.
Now, let's note, you're on a motorcycle, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I knew that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Because you flipped me off the other day.
Next speaker.
Lewis McCarthy, Palm Coast. I said this once, and I'll say it again. For all those who cannot or who do not know where the new City Hall is, but have some kind of internet connection, by all means, go on the city's website and go to the site that will show you how our new City Hall is being constructed. And it also, if you go down at the bottom, it'll show you how the walls first came up, and then it goes on and on and on until present day. It is amazing. And I say it again, people ask, well, I can't get over there. And I tell them, you can chit-chat with my wife on the thing, and she's probably looking at this, but get on there and utilize it. It's put on there for a purpose. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker. Next speaker. So you don't approach the podium. We'll close the public portion. We'll be back to council. The first speaker. What are the consequences of Flagler County hitting 100,000 population? There are a couple consequences. The state of Florida has some certain programs that benefit what they call small counties, so that you get additional revenues to compensate for the fact that you don't have a large population base or a tax base. When you move out of that category of small counties, those special benefits go away. But the real crux of the question was, other than having 100,000 people, how does that benefit us? And there are a variety of answers. But obviously, as you increase your population, you're increasing your tax base, you're increasing your infrastructure. When you talk to corporate executives, they will tell you that their decisions as to where to locate a business, where to locate a retail establishment, where to locate a big box store, has to do with demographics. And as our population increases, people become more aware of the fact that Palm Coast is a thriving place to live, work, and play. So, I mean, there's some downsides in terms of loss of some state revenue and some benefits, but the upside is better recognition and hopefully increased development opportunities.
Your Honor, I was at the BOCC meeting yesterday, and it was mostly oriented toward what state benefits might the county achieve or not achieve, and the answer that was given was, well, it's not official until the next census, which is done every 10 years, so you can say you're 100,000 people, but until there's a census, it isn't official, and nothing changes. Correct. That's what the answer that was given to the BOCC yesterday.
But the implications are coming. But yeah, 10 years. Ten years. It'll be 2020, I guess. The next.
Yep.
Motorcycle awareness. Why don't you ask our traffic engineer to take a look at that? You know, I hate to say this, but you can put all the advisory signs up, all the no littering signs, all the warning signs. People seem to ignore them with impunity, but it's something we could look at, Mr. Landon.
And the catchphrase would be, look twice for motorcycles.
Mr. Mayor, can I make a suggestion? Maybe we can put our mobile sign out during in a couple places during May, move it from one place to, since May was Motorcycle Awareness Month, perhaps we can put the mobile sign out. In a couple, you know, move it in one place and then for another week put it another or 2 weeks, whatever.
Yeah, I would suggest we work with Sheriff's Office and get input from them as to where, if they've seen particularly any motorcycle accidents or heavy motorcycle traffic. State Road 100 comes to mind and some others. But sure, we can work with them and try to bring more awareness. We do the same thing with the any kind of permanent signage. You know, you want to make sure you target it and it's not just everywhere, because then it's just clutter.
I think, Mr. Landon, it would be in order to get an estimate of the gentleman suggested that we get the signs and affix them to the stanchions that are already there. What would the cost of such a thing do? And I have another question too. When there's a fatality on a motorcycle, do we, you know, every now and then you see little shrines along the side of the road, but does the city, the county, or the state mark the site in any way?
The state has a program, you'll see, that they have on their state highways that is official. And Mark, you might be able to help me out with this. I know that we don't have a program on city streets per se. But Mark, I know, has dealt with this before here in Palm Coast.
It's a sensitive issue because sometimes they put them in bad spots, bad places, and obstruction, and then dealing with the family in return, it's just touchy. So we have talked to DOT, and they have certain markers, and I do have the correspondence in my computer. I'll look it up, and I'll send it out to Mr. Landon, and something we can discuss.
A long time ago, in certain southern states that I can recall, if you were driving at night and there was a place where there was a fatality, they'd paint a cross on the road. And sometimes, you know, you'd be coming to a curve and you'd see half a dozen crosses painted on that curve. And let me tell you, at about 2 in the morning, it's pretty
it's a distraction.
Much shake
you up. Yes. Yeah. It's a touchy situation, but it is a distraction. And then we get complaints on the other side. So I'll look into that DOT program.
I think the man makes a good point. I mean, whether people read them or not, the city ought to at least make the effort to make people that may be just passing through, like snowbirds, aware that there's a ton of motorcycles that use these roads. And if you live in Quebec and you've probably never seen one before, be aware that you're going to see a lot of them.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Same issue, and I agree with the speaker, those two right-hand turn lanes. I think as the new traffic signals are put in place, I think as the acceleration lane for I-95 ramp is opened, I think that will help improve that situation. But Speaker's absolutely right. People will, from a single lane, I've got two to choose from. And if they choose one and just stay in it, but where I've seen the problem is they go into the left-hand lane, but they know they want to turn right, so they cut across the right-hand lane into the right-hand lane about three-quarters of the way through the turn. Again, maybe if Sean could look at that and just see if there's some additional marking. I think when all the construction is over, some of that will be resolved, but maybe in the interim, there may be something we can do.
We'll take a look.
Okay. And thank you for the kind words about City Hall. I think it's an opportunity for everybody to follow the progress. It is kind of remarkable when you see nothing and then all of a sudden you've got four walls. That's tilt wall construction. It's something to watch. Okay, this brings us to discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Mrs. Shipley, why don't we start with you?
I just have one. The Ralph Cotter Park, the Richardson Road issue, I did get some emails from people that are concerned where the kids are cutting through and the fence is there and they want a higher fence, and I was just wondering if we could bring that into a workshop, at the next workshop, and see if we can figure out what to do with it.
We can certainly bring it into a workshop. Whether or not we can figure out what to do with it or not is a different issue, but
sure. Certainly
I'd be happy to discuss it. Okay. And then, Mr. Landon, perhaps at that workshop, give us some of the history of what has been suggested, what has been tried, what has worked, what hasn't worked. This is not a new issue by any matter.
Yep, will do.
Anything else, Heidi?
Nope, that's it.
Mr. DiLorenzo?
Nothing.
Mr. Nobile?
All this talk of traffic and lights, I just noticed one thing. I was driving on Palm Coast Parkway with the new construction at the entrances of the I-95. The new lights, I noticed, were just in front of the old lights. And if I pull up to it, I can't see the light.
Or is the new
yeah,
inactive
usually,
light?
Yeah, usually we put, as when I see them go up, they usually go across. Now they go across the street, you know. So these were in the same spot as the old lights. This is at the intersection. At the ramp to for I-95 on both sides, and it's just the light sits right above you, and if you're the first or second person up there, you can't see the light.
It is a new light.
New. And they're not active yet,
okay.
But the bar and the lights are hanging.
Right.
You know,
one of the reasons they're probably not active is you're going to find that the markings as to where you end up stopping will be at a different location.
Okay.
Too. See,
it's going to be about 30 feet back.
Yeah, there's a number of those, and that's why some of them are active and some of them aren't.
Okay.
And
I was just like, I just went there and I went.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a sunroof. You can't see over your head.
I'm talking about the ramp where you get on 995.
Yeah.
During different parts of this, I do the same thing. I go in and say, they're doing what? And then then they'll take next step, and then it start.
Okay.
So hopefully it all comes together.
Good.
You know, a lot of engineering power went into this, so it better all come together.
Yeah, there you go. Good. And I just want a second. What, Ms. Shipley, we really need to talk about the Ralph Carter Park and Richardson and it's not only Richardson, it's the surrounding. So I've been there and having a lot of conversations with as many of the residents as possible trying to make sure it is an issue for more than just one or two people. And it appears that
it's
a lot bigger than that. Yeah. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. McGuire.
Just want to call the public's attention, if they don't know already, on Friday, April the 17th, from 8 to 5, Gail Wadsworth in the circuit court, the county clerk, is going to have what they're calling Operation Green Light. And what that will do is if you've got unpaid traffic tickets or court fines or fees, normally they charge a 40% collection surcharge. The clerk of courts and the court will waive the 40% surcharge for that one day only if you come up and make your payments at the Kim Hammond Justice Center out on in Bunnell. And that 40%, well, I talked to her yesterday at the BOCC meeting. There are people up there with 6, 7, and 8 red light camera tickets. And when you put 40% on every one of those, you know, you're going to save well over $1,000 if you'll go and do that. So I asked her if she could come and talk to us, and she couldn't. So I'm pinch hitting for Gail Wadsworth and anybody that wants more information. It's on the website, or you can call the county circuit clerk's office, and they'll give you that information. But what it is they will not charge 40% collection fees for any outstanding traffic tickets or court fines, but it's one day only.
So if I have one, should I hold on to it till the 17th?
Far be it from me to give you legal advice. I can tell you what'll happen after the 17th.
I know that.
So, but as far as what you should do, that's everybody's decision. But there, I was amazed to find out how many people have got them stacking up, you know, more than one or two offenses. So, you know, you're talking serious bucks. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
I have nothing tonight.
Mr. Vice Mayor.
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.